Sup, you beautiful bastards. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Hit that like button to support the video. Hit that subscribe button for your chance to win $5,000 at the end of the month, just like last month's winners. But with that said, let's just jump into it. And the first thing that we're gonna talk about today in news slash, you know, actually, let's play a game called What Would You Do? All right, so there's this video that's gone viral this week that shows a 17-year-old girl in Southern California the moment that she spots a mama bear and her cubs walking along the wall of her garden. We then see the teen's dogs charge over to bark at the bears, the cubs run away, the mother begins swiping her arm. And then, as the bear is about to unalive one of the smaller dogs, the teen rushes over and shoves this bear and scoops up and corrals the dogs, runs away. And it is the bravest, most idiotic thing I've ever seen someone do. The teenager, Haley Morinico, later shared on TikTok that she walked away with only a sprained finger and a scraped knee, and she also, I think, agrees that it was incredibly dumb of her to do this, telling reporters that she did not immediately register in her head that it was actually a bear that she pushed, and she was acting quickly out of fear for her dogs, and also warning others, don't do what I did, you might not have the same outcome. Local wildlife experts also stressing that what she did was dangerous because it wouldn't take too much from a bear to cause a serious injury. Also, what I will say with this story that's been really interesting is the reaction to it on Twitter specifically. There are a lot of people on the side of the bear. Some of the top comments saying of the bear, she's a good mom, she didn't deserve what she got, to dogs were clearly a threat, that bear was not wandering around, its habitat has been invaded. You know what, to a certain degree, I have to agree with comments like that because yes, this teenager may have been acting in just like in pure panic, thinking about her dogs, but she infringed on that mother's rights to bear arms.
Bear arms.
Myself. But no, the question I have for you is what would you do in that situation? Or rather, what would you think that you would do? Are you letting Sparky and the boys deal with the bear that they decided to bark at, or are you jumping in? Then, boys and girls, it is that magical time of year again. The 1 month every year where companies that give money to historically anti-LGBTQ organizations and politicians take a break and wave a rainbow flag. But that said, with it being Pride Month, I do wanna say two things. One, I see you, you are dope. If anyone ever tries to make you feel less than or wrong because you were born a certain way, that makes them less than. You already know that. You don't need me saying that, but you know, sometimes outside validation helps. And two, just as a present, I wanna give you my favorite Pride story so far. And that is a story that allegedly went down in Moses Lake, Washington. So the way the story and the video goes, according to Raw Story, you had a Twitter user by the name of Retro Ushi, who identifies as trans and queer, saying on social media, "These people harassed my family because we were flying gay pride flags in Moses Lake, Washington by racing around us and shouting gay slurs, then explaining and with us seeing their boat then literally blew up." Right in the video, you see the boat on fire, the people in the water swimming to the people they appear to have been harassing, with this Twitter user also adding, "And just one more tidbit to really drive the karma in there. The driver literally shit his pants and everyone saw when his shorts fell off in the water." And as far as how the hell this boat just fantastically and karmically caught on fire. According to Retro Ushi, the most likely cause of the fire was that they were driving around us so roughly, they either damaged their carburetor or took in water and stalled. Then fumes built up, and when they tried to speed away, the fumes ignited. And you know, the whole thing is just this beautiful thing to me, because you apparently have these people that just had a pride flag, minding their own damn business. And then you seemingly have three shitheads who are like, "Ah, a pride flag, that's somehow horrible, I'm gonna harass these people." And the whole situation is just absolutely beautiful to me, not only because of the karma, but because these small-minded douchebags ended up being saved by the people they were harassing, and those people stayed. They didn't go away, they didn't say screw them. Even after being on the receiving end of unwarranted hate, they decided to be the bigger person and help out another human being. And if I'm being completely honest here, they're better people than me, because I don't know if I would have done the same thing, whether stay or allow those people on my boat. Like, I think I would have just let God sort it out. But actually, let's play another game of what would you do? What would you do if you were in this situation? Then, in entertainment news, we should definitely talk about this ridiculous, weird, and very likely to be immensely profitable fight between Floyd Mayweather and Logan Paul that is happening this Sunday. A fight that Floyd Mayweather called a legalized bank robbery. Right, in one corner you have the former five-weight world champion, 50-0, 27 career knockouts. And then, on the other hand, you have a very big YouTuber with a professional record of 0-1 after losing to KSI in a split decision in 2019. Now, as far as why Logan is saying that he thinks that he has a chance, one, his age, right? He's about 18 years younger. Floyd hasn't fought in 4 years. He's now 44 years old. He has the height advantage. He also has the weight advantage. advantage. He believes that he's going to be entering the ring 4 weight classes above Floyd Mayweather, though I think most of the world still does not think that is enough to beat arguably the best boxer in a generation, who right now is publicly saying, I don't even need a hard camp to beat this guy. But let's say that Logan Paul does the unthinkable. He just comes out swinging, he knocks out Floyd Mayweather, right? Because he's not gonna want this thing to go long. He's a big guy, he's gonna gas out. Today, we learned that if that happened, among other things, Floyd Mayweather's record would still remain perfect. And that's because this fight is not officially sanctioned by the Florida State Boxing Commission. With a spokesperson for the Department of Business and Professional Regulation telling ESPN today, this fight will have no judges, no official winner will be read, knockouts are legal, but once again, no official winner will be read, and KOs are up to the ref's discretion. And with this coming out, I mean, I've seen a number of outlets and a lot of people saying, well, then what's the point? My response to that is the same thing that I would have said at the beginning. Spectacle and money. Both of these guys from this fight alone are gonna make what for any other human being would be generational wealth. With pretty much everyone, including the men themselves, expecting Floyd Mayweather to win, Logan Paul to lose, and really the only person that has anything to lose in this situation is Floyd Mayweather. But even if he lost, he gets clocked in the face, he's gonna fall on a bed of money. And guess what? I'm gonna watch it live because I'm part of the problem, people. It's for the same reason I watch someone walk across the Grand Canyon. I don't know why you would do that on a little rope, but I wanna see what happens. I can't help it. It's too weird to look away. But also, if Logan Paul knocks out Floyd Mayweather, he just becomes the king of the internet, right? Like, at that point, I think there's just nothing you could say. But to the boxing fans out there, what do you think is actually gonna happen? What, how, and when? But from that, I wanna take a second to thank the fantastic sponsor of today's show, Ritual. You know, sometimes when we try our best to eat healthy, we still may not be getting the key nutrients needed from our diet alone, and that is where Ritual comes in. Personally, I've been using Ritual's Essential for Men 18 Plus multivitamin that helps support brain health, heart health, normal muscle, and immune function with key nutrients like vitamin K2, omega-3, DHA, vitamins A and D, 3+, magnesium, and zinc. And Ritual helps support foundational health with clean, traceable ingredients that make it easy to turn your healthy habits into a ritual. And their subscription-based supplements are easy to start and easy to snooze and are delivered directly to your door for about $1 a day. It's vegan-friendly, non-GMO, gluten and allergy-free, and you can track where each nutrient comes from right down to the supplier. And best of all, right now, Ritual is offering 10% off during your first 3 months. So what are you waiting for? Click that link down below and use code PDF10 to get 10% off and support your heart health and normal muscle and immune system function today. And then let's talk about really interesting news we're seeing around jobs. It may in fact be your job, something that just impacts you, or something that we're seeing nationwide. Right, so recently, you've probably seen some sort of headline regarding a labor shortage. Right? U.S. Chamber CEO says America's worker shortage is real and getting worse by the day. Right, but that's a headline. It's something that's happening. How does it affect you? And actually, maybe one of the ways that it is impacting you is if you use Uber or Lyft. According to one research firm, the cost for an Uber or Lyft ride was up in April 40%. In March, prices surged by 37%. And a big part of that is because there just aren't enough drivers. And part of the reason that these drivers are not returning, or a number of people are not re-entering the workforce, is being attributed to President Biden extending the $300 extra a week unemployment benefit through September. And in fact, 42% of people on unemployment now earn more than they did at their jobs. Then you take into account things like childcare. A lot of people have had to work from home. They've had their kids there. They've been saving money in that one way. And then of course, even with about half the population here in the States vaccinated, there are still concerns about coronavirus. And a lot of people also want to just work from home. And actually, in fact, regarding that, according to Morning Consult, which conducted its poll on behalf of Bloomberg News, out of 1,000 US adults surveyed, 39% said that they would consider quitting if their bosses were not flexible with them about working from home. And that divide becomes even more pronounced in millennials and Gen Z, with 49% saying that they would consider quitting. And among the biggest reasons for staying at home there, it's not actually even coronavirus. Many have cited not having to commute, the cost savings. In fact, 1/3 of respondents in the survey said that they were able to save at least $5,000 more by just working remotely over the past year. You know, if I can add anything to this story as an employer, if I can speak to anyone else that out there that is employing anybody, if your business model can handle it, you should really consider allowing people to stay at work for home or be somewhat flexible. Hell, half my office loves work from home, and we're also very flexible about, if you need human contact, we have an area where you can come in and we work. And for me as an employer, it's a win on two fronts. One, if there's anything I can do, especially if it's a passive thing, right, a thing I don't have to actively do, and it makes my employees' mental health better, it makes them happier, it doesn't impact, you know, the workflow, it's such a win, especially because working with an asshole like me can be very stressful. And two, and this is obviously specific to my situation, because I had fewer people actively coming in, I was able to find a more specialized space that was focused on, for my job, more areas to shoot and like a really high quality edit bay. And we could put more money into soundproofing. And we have like a stage in the back that we're going to sell tickets and not just throw money into a fire for people that don't necessarily need to be here to effectively do their job. I bought this building. It is an investment. And each month I am now paying 60% less than what I was several months ago. Also, if you're an employer that points to articles like this Forbes article or studies like the one that it covered, it reported that people working from home are having sex, dating, taking naps, and doing side hustles on company time. And you're like, that's the reason we're not gonna do it. The question I have for you is, has productivity dropped? It's the same reason I've never put tracking or, you know, Big Brother software on my employees' computers. If the job is getting done, I don't care what else you're doing. I have an employee during baseball season that is watching baseball while he works. He's top tier, but he always like, he tries to hide it. I don't care. You're giving me top tier work. It's on time. Do whatever you want. Before I became a professional idiot talking on camera, I worked regular jobs. And in regular jobs, there's a lot of empty time. You're essentially penalized for being productive. But like I said, it has to be attributed to your specific business. I'm not gonna make a broad general statement about every vertical. But yeah, with this story, I would love to know your thoughts, whether you're you know, employee, a manager, a boss, a whoever. What are your thoughts on work from home and returning to normalcy or having to go in when you've been working from home? Any and all thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Then we should definitely talk about how yesterday some countries in the European Union began the rollout of a digital COVID vaccination certificate. It's known officially as the Digital Green Certificate, and it tracks whether someone has been fully vaccinated against COVID-19, recovered from having the virus in the past, or tested negative within the last 72 hours. And if at least one of those criteria is met, the person is then free to travel within the EU. And so far, it only includes Bulgaria, Denmark, Germany, the Czech Republic, Greece, Croatia, and Poland. Though the EU's executive body does expect that the system will be available for all 27 EU nations starting July 1st. Reportedly, the certificates, beyond allowing someone into EU countries, may also have other benefits upon arrival in the near future. Things like not needing a test or to quarantine when entering a new EU nation. And it is going to be interesting to see what happens here, because many nations, including the United States, have suggested working with international partners on some kind of standard that proves someone is vaccinated to facilitate international travel. And while that has not happened to date, reportedly the US and the EU are working on a system to verify the vaccinated status of Americans entering Europe to then qualify for the digital green certificate. But as far as how Americans would take that, that remains to be seen right now. Right, for example, in the United States, some states have considered digital passes to help prove that you're vaccinated. You have New York with the first actual program. They call it the Excelsior Pass, and it's billed as a way to easily attend events, games, and other activities that are likely to be highly attended. But, and it's a big but, so far only 1.1 million passes have been downloaded to vaccinated residents out of the total 8.9 million fully vaccinated New Yorkers. And actually at the same time, other states have done the exact opposite. Alabama, Arizona, Florida, and Georgia have all banned the use of vaccine passports, which means that similar programs to prove one's vaccinated status might also be banned. But ultimately, as far as for the Americans out there, as the Biden administration continues negotiations, it is possible that on July 1st, vaccinated Americans will be allowed to travel to Europe without the need of quarantining or taking tests as the world returns to some normalcy. Then we should definitely talk about the upcoming Olympics, because, you know, one of the last times we talked about it, we talked about international concerns about actually following through with the event. Right, well, in a number of countries, we're seeing the number of COVID cases and deaths drop. I mean, yesterday it was reported that there was a zero death day in the UK, for example. But Japan, on the other hand, is struggling. In fact, a coronavirus state of emergency has been extended in the capital, Tokyo, and three other major areas as cases continue to rise. And as it turns out, locally, people are not excited for the Olympics. Recent polling shows that 70% of the population does not want the Olympics to move forward. And in fact, on top of that, one of Japan's largest broadcasters announced this morning that around 10,000 of the 80,000 volunteers who signed up to help at the Tokyo 2020 Olympic and Paralympic Games have quit to date. Right, that's about 12.5% of the volunteer crew jumping ship, and that is not a small number. These volunteers are vital to actually running each Olympics. But still with this, right now the IOC appears to be full steam ahead. The committee's director also downplaying the role of the virus, saying that those who quit did so because it was hard for their schedule. And I mean, as far as what happens next, according to experts, it's purely on the IOC. And that's because reportedly the contract between the IOC and Tokyo is very straightforward. It only gives the option for the IOC to cancel and not the host city. And according to Professor Jack Anderson at the University of Melbourne, under various clauses within this host city agreement, if Japan was to unilaterally cancel the contract, then by and large, the risks and losses would fall with the local organizing committee. And adding, there are billions at stake for Japan and also the IOC in terms of broadcasting sponsorship. And so noting that the only realistic scenario would involve Japan and the IOC jointly
pulling the event.
And noting that if that happened, then the insurance would kick in. With the BBC reporting that the IOC has insurance, the local organizing committee has insurance, and the various broadcasters and sponsors will also have insurance. With Professor Anderson noting that if it is canceled, it would probably be the biggest insurance payout event of its kind. But also there, it is important to note that that's for like the organizers and the big people. With the BBC reporting that it would hardly cover all the indirect costs raked up by investments across the country in anticipation for the Olympics. Right, hotels and restaurants that may have undergone renovations and preparations for the influx of tourists.
Yeah, ultimately we're gonna have to wait to see what actually happens here.
And ultimately with this story, or honestly, anything else that stood out to you today, I'd love to know your thoughts in those comments down below, because this is the end of today's show. As always, thank you for being a part of my family, watching the shows, like and subscribe and all the good stuff. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces and I'll see you tomorrow.